Thank you, Brother Jamie, for letting me have a part in this meeting. I've been blessed. Well, it's good singing. I like this good singing, good preaching, good fellowship. It's like an oasis in a desert. You're my kind of people. I appreciate this old-time way. I've been saved a long time. Don't seem like I've been saved as long as I have, but I've been saved, let's say, 58 years. Been preaching 58 years. That's right. And been married, will be this August. I think I'm right on this. 61 years. I think that's right. Oh. Well, I do know I'm right about being saved. Amen. I may not be right on that, but I'm right on that salvation. It has been good. I thank the Lord for the good preaching since I've been here and heard the good men of God. I mean that. I'm not just saying that to be saying it. I really mean it. Good hospitality, good spirit. Like the service tonight. You couldn't find any better service than we've had tonight. Singing. All this good singing. I like it. I'm not for this old contemporary stuff. I just don't care much. Well, I don't care anything for it. But I like this kind of singing. Amen. So I appreciate you letting me come, Brother Jamie. I really do. Appreciate these good men of God. I've known some of them through the years. And our fellowship's been good. They've been an encouragement and a help to me along the way.
Amen.
I'm going to read some verses tonight in Jeremiah chapter 5 and chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 5 and chapter 6. I'm going to read a few verses in chapter 5 and then some verses in chapter 6. Let me read some verses here in chapter 5. I'll begin with verse, Let me begin with this. I'm trying to find it. Verse 20. The Bible said, declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah. Hear now this, O foolish people, without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear not ye me, saith the Lord, will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand of the bound, placed the sands of the bounds of the sea to, by a perpetual degree, that it cannot pass it, and though the waters thereof toss themselves, they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. But this people has revolting and rebellious spirit, heart. They're revolt and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter. In his season, he reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. Drop down to verse 30. Wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. Priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? Now let's go over to chapter 6 and look at these verses, very familiar, verse 9. Let me begin with this verse, chapter 6 and verse 8. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall fairly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine, turn back thine hand as a grape gather into the basket. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Because the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it.
Yes.
Now let's drop over here to this verse 16. Chapter 6. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, congregation, what is among thee. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruits of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. I'll start with that. Notice this verse 16 and also this verse 19. Israel would not listen, would not hearken to the words of the Lord. He sent prophets of bedtime early. But they would not listen. At verse 30 in verse 5 said, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land.
Yes.
Now notice what it says. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their own means, but listen to this. And my people love to have it so.
Yeah.
Really, when you think about that, in the days that you and I live in, a lot of church people, church folks,
yeah,
they'd rather hear untruth than hear truth.
Amen.
They'd rather have their ears tickled and their backs scratched than really hearing, thus saith the Lord. We're in those days when people will not endure sound doctrine. But our Lord said to Israel, stand ye in the ways and ask for the old paths. And walk therein, and you'll find rest of your souls. You know what they said? We will not walk therein. The Lord said, okay, that's all right. If you'll not walk therein, hear, Earth, I'll judge. I'll bring evil upon this people. So I want to preach tonight on God will if you won't. God will if you won't. You're not going to buy God up in the corner. And you're not going to intimidate him. God's always going to come out on top. So Israel said, we're not going to walk therein. Well, at least that's okay. That's all right. If you won't, I will. When I think about that, I think about Adam. God made him out of the dust of the earth, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Adam became a living soul, created in the image and likeness of God. But God didn't make a robot. God didn't make a puppet. God did not make a machine. God made a man. And God said to Adam, as he put him in that garden, now of all the trees of the garden, you can partake of except one. And when you partake of that, you'll die. See, God didn't make Adam let that tree alone. No, he didn't. But Adam couldn't stop God from driving out of the garden. So think about that statement, and I'm going to use about three characters in the Bible, the Old Testament, to preach on this subject. God will if you won't. Are you hearing me tonight?
Yes.
When you defy and deny and rebel and fail to hearken to the Word of God, you're not dealing with the man upstairs.
Yeah.
You're not dealing with the little grandpa God or Santa Claus God. You're dealing with the Almighty God,
yeah,
who's sovereign.
Amen.
Loves us, but yet he's stern.
Yes.
And he doesn't play games. He means what he says and says what he means.
That's right.
See, a lot of folks get the ideal, well, I know God says it, but so what? He really won't do anything about it if I don't do anything about it. You better rethink that. Now, God let Israel drift along in their backslidings, their sins, and God warned them, and God warned them, and God warned them in His long-suffering, in His goodness, but one day, God judged them.
Amen.
See, God will if we won't.
Yes.
Think about that. Now, tonight, we've heard a lot of preaching, heard a lot of the Word of God. There are a lot of professing Christians who are like Judah. They say it. We're not going to walk therein. Preach all you want to, till you're blue in the face. We're not going to walk therein. Well, see, God won't make us walk. But He sure can make us wish we had a walk. So we're not playing games. These services we've been in, these preachers has preached to us faithfully. In other words, we're not just spending time and killing time, but the Lord speaking. So a lot of people like Judah, professing Christians, they say we're not going to walk therein. Preach all you want to. I think I told Brother Rue the other night. Sometimes I feel like Jeremiah. I've been preaching a good many years. Some of you have. Jeremiah preached faithfully, and one day he said, you know what? I'm not going to say anything else about that. You ever been there? Now, come on, you can talk to him a little bit. Sermons that I preached years ago, like the one some we've heard these days. Christians, repent, get right with God, revival fires burn. Sinners got saved by the grace of God, but now you can preach those same messages and it don't move people. So sometimes the Lord will nudge you and say, preach that sermon you preached 20 years ago. If you're not careful, you say, Lord, it's no need doing that. They're not going to heed it. They're not going to do anything about it. It's no need doing that. That's what old Jeremiah said. Jeremiah said, Lord, I'm just not going to say anything else about it. And then Jeremiah said, you know what? That word got burning like fire in my bones. And I couldn't stay. Now, God's men are saved and God called, that happens. Because we're just human and sometimes we think, what's the use to preach that message? And we say, no need doing that. No need to say any more about that. But then that word, like fire in our bones, begins to burn. And before you know it, you say, Lord, I'm going to preach it. I don't know what they'll do. I don't know what will happen, but I'm going to preach it.
Amen.
God sent prophet after prophet. Israel wouldn't do anything. So God brought them to the crossroads, and God said, now you got to make a choice. In other words, stand ye in the ways, ask for the old paths, and walk therein. And they said, we're not going to walk therein. We're not going to hearken. God said, that's okay. Hear, O earth, I'll judge these people. The first character I want to use to illustrate this message is Abraham. Remember Abraham? Abraham's in the Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham is a heathen. He's an idolater, pagan. And one day God spoke to Abraham. Now, I don't know how God spoke to Abraham, but I do know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I also know the Bible said Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. I read years ago where a commentator said the reason that God spoke to Abraham and chose Abraham instead of his dad is because Abraham kind of leaned toward God. That's not true. Abraham didn't lean toward God. He is as much a heathen as his daddy was. He was an idolater, worshipped idols, but one day God spoke to Abraham. Here's what I'm talking about. First of all, God called Abraham, I believe, to salvation. I believe that. So I think service comes after salvation. You believe that? Somebody said, well, I serve the Lord and I preach the gospel and I wasn't even saved. No, service comes after salvation. And the Bible does say that Abraham believed God and God counted him for righteousness. And Paul said Abraham was saved by faith and not by his works. So I think that God called Abraham salvation. I believe salvation is of the Lord. You're not going to pump it up. You're not going to pull yourself by your own bootstraps. Doesn't matter what Joel Osteen says, you haven't got any goodness in you. Doesn't matter what Joel says. God said there's none good, no not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone's turned his own way. We are no good. But not only did God call Abraham to salvation, but also he called him to separation. You know what he said to him? I want you to leave your land, leave your kindred, and go into a land I'll show you. See, God does call people to separation when he saves them. You believe that? So God told Abraham, you leave your relatives, you leave your land, and you go into land I'll show thee. Abraham was to walk by faith and not by sight. But you know what happened? The latter part of chapter 11, the Bible said that Abraham's dad took him. He went with Abraham. God didn't say for him to go with Abraham. Read your Bible. God didn't say for Abraham's dad to go with him. As a matter of fact, God said, leave him. Leave your kindred, leave your land, and go into the land I show thee. But Abraham let his dad go with him, and he got bogged down in Haran. Anything got you bogged down? You're saved. You know you ought to be separated. As a relative got you bogged down. Pleasures got you bogged down. Your own desires got you bogged down. Abraham tarried in Haran, but read Acts chapter 7. After a period of time, God, the Bible said, Abraham's dad died, and God moved Abraham. See, Abraham didn't really get separated all the way until God moved the hindrance. You heard people say, well, I would serve the Lord, but make all kind of excuses and say, well, I would serve the Lord, but, you know, my wife, my husband, my relatives, my associates, oh, no. So really, Abraham was called to salvation by grace, was to be separated for the Lord and go and by faith look for a city whose foundation was builder and maker's God. Okay, let's notice what happened to Abraham. He is saved by grace, called for separation, and therefore he was to serve God and not his daddy. He didn't say amen. When God saves us and God separates us, God wants us to serve Him. And He said, if you love father and mother more than me, you cannot be my disciple. That's what He said. If you love sons and daughters, in-laws, more than you love me, you cannot be my disciple. Jesus said that. Now, it doesn't matter what we think, doesn't matter what we say. The Bible tells us to love the Lord God with all our hearts, all our soul, all our strength. In other words, Jesus is to have first place, not second place, or third place, or fourth place, but first place. That's what God said to Abraham when He saved him, separated him, said, I want first place. But Abraham's dad went along. And God had to remove that hindrance in order to get Abraham to go forward. Now, here's the thing about it. You might say, I am not going to hearken. I am not going to walk therein. If you're saved, go ahead and say it. You say, I'm not going to do it because mama don't want me to, and daddy don't want me to, and my husband don't want me to, and my wife don't want me to, or my friend doesn't want me to. Well, go ahead. God can remove that. God can take care of that. God can do it where that you'll move on. Now, a lot of folks don't believe God does that, but I do. So God said, stand in the ways, ask the old past, and walk therein. And they said, we're not going to hearken. We're not going to walk therein. And God said, well, here, O earth, if you won't, I will. And God did. Let me give you another example in the Bible. Abraham really failed God, bogged down Haran. But let me give you another example in the Old Testament. Remember Naomi? Remember Naomi, don't you? The Bible said that Naomi and her husband, two sons, dwelt in Bethlehem of Judah. Famine came. That was the judgment of God. That famine was the judgment of God. But when the famine came and judgment came, the Bible tells us that Naomi and Elimelech and her two sons went to Moab. Moab is off limits for the child of God. But they said, we're just going down to Moab and sojourn. But they spent 10 years in Moab. All right, they got down in Moab, and the Bible tells us that the sons married two more bodies, women. But now they're dwelling in Moab. They're not where they ought to be. Judgment ought not drive us into the fire country or Moab. It ought to draw us near to God. See, God judged Israel not to drive them further away, but God judged Israel to bring them near. And when God corrects you and chastens you, and therefore, as a child of God, He's not trying to drive you away. He's trying to pull you to Him, that you'd have fellowship and therefore enjoy His fellowship as a child of God. The judgment of God, the correction of God, is not to drive you further, but to bring you near. So Naomi, Elimelech took off to Moab, got down there, and the Bible tells us one day Elimelech died. Wonder what God is doing. And it wasn't long until the two sons died. Now keep reading your Bible. And Naomi, the Bible tells us, I'm not going to deal with all that about Ruth and the other daughter-in-law. I'm not going to deal with that. But one day Naomi heard that there was bread in Bethlehem. So she said, I'm going back home. When she got back home, the Bible tells us, they said, is not this Naomi? She said, call me not Naomi, call me Mara.
Yeah.
I went out full, and I'll underline this. Yeah. I went out full, and God has brought me home empty. I went out with a husband. I went out with two sons. I went out, and yet I went out full, but God has brought... She said, God did it.
Yeah.
See, in our day, a lot of folks say, you don't need to preach on the judgment of God. Don't preach on God correcting. Don't preach on God discipline. Oh, Joel Osteen talks about, in other words, there's good in you. And a lot of Baptist preachers, they wouldn't say anything about judgment.
Amen.
I'm telling you that God gets fed up. God gets full of His fury. And when God does that, God will if we won't. So she said, I left full, but God brought me home empty. You know what else she said? The Almighty has afflicted me. The Almighty has dealt with me bitterly. What am I trying to say? God said, Naomi, 10 years in Moab. Naomi, you don't belong here.
Right.
You don't need to be here.
Yep.
You better get back where you belong in Bethlehem of Judah.
Right.
But they tarried, and one day, husband died. Sons died. And old Naomi said, you know what? I've heard there's bread in Bethlehem. You know what God said? God said, if you won't, I will. Now, a lot of folks don't believe that, but I believe it's true. I believe that God can remove anything or any person that would hinder us, get us bogged down when He wants us to move forward. I believe God does do that. Like I said earlier, we're not playing with an old Santa Claus God and a grandpa God. He's not the buddy in the sky. He's not a co-pilot. He's Almighty God. Naomi said, the Almighty has dealt with me bitterly.
Yeah.
God will, He won't. Now you can sit in these services and we can sit in services. The Lord speaks to us through the Word of God. We might sit there and let it run off our backs like water off our duck's back and think, I'll get by with this.
Yeah.
When this meeting's over, I won't get to hear that about that discipline and about that modesty and about that dedication and about that concentration. Oh, when this meeting's over, it'll all be over. And I won't have to hear any more about God and about judgment and about, in other words, discipline. No, it won't be over.
Amen.
Oh, it won't be over. Are you hearing me tonight? It won't be over. See, God speaks to us while we hear, and God deals with us while we hear, and God won't forget what He said to me when I leave.
Right.
He won't forget what He said to me when I leave.
Right.
And if I don't do something about it while I'm here, and I don't get it taken care of, in other words, in time, you know what God will do? He'll correct me, chasten me, discipline me, because God said, listen, if you won't, I will. So Abraham got bogged down and God moved his dad. Old Naomi got down Moab and God, in other words, she said it. That God has brought me home empty. God has dealt with me bitterly. In other words, God has afflicted me. So God said, I will if you won't. That's another character in the Bible you're familiar with in the Old Testament. You remember Jonah? Remember old Jonah? Jonah. Most folks remember Jonah. A lot of folks don't believe a whale swallowed Jonah, but I do.
Yeah.
Old Bill O'Reilly wrote that book on killing Jesus, him and his buddy. And he said, I just don't believe a whale could swallow a man.
Okay.
I don't care what he believes, I believe the Bible.
Yeah. Right.
Jesus believed it.
Right.
Our Lord believed it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, our Lord made the whale.
Yeah.
Say amen.
Amen.
He believed it. He said, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, even so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth.
Yeah.
Remember old Jonah? God said, Jonah, I want you to go down to Nineveh and preach the word I bid thee.
Amen.
Jonah's a Hebrew. Nineveh's a Gentile city.
Yeah.
Big city.
Yeah.
Old Jonah said, I'm not going. You say he didn't say that. Yes, he did.
He
said, I'm not a going. I'm a Hebrew, and I'm prejudiced, and I'm just not going down there and preach to those dogs. I'm not going to Nineveh. You say he didn't say it. Yes, he did.
Amen.
Now, he didn't say it audibly. He didn't shake his fist in God's face and say, I'm not going. But he said, I'm not going.
Yeah.
How you know? The Bible said that he went down and bought him a ticket.
Yeah.
Paid his own fare. And the Bible said he got on that ship and headed toward Tarsus. Now God said, go to Nineveh. He's going in a different direction. And old Jonah so backslid. In other words, on that ship that when the storm came, I'll deal with that moment. You know where is that? In the ship, sound asleep. That's the way folks are. See, when you're asleep, you're not conscious. When you're asleep, you're unconcerned. Oh, Jonah was down there. He didn't know what was going on. He was unconcerned with what was going on. And a Kirk could have cared less. But that shipmaster went down there and said, awake, old sleeper. Rise up. And we got to get this thing straight. They'd been talking to their God and trying to get everything straight. Now listen to what the Bible said. The Bible said that God sent a great storm. And global warming had nothing to do with it. Say amen.
Yeah.
It's global warming crowd. It's pitiful.
Amen.
Somebody said, you don't believe in global warming? No, I do not believe in global warming.
Amen.
Global warming is a myth.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to do with weather.
Right.
You don't have anything to do with weather. Just go ahead and keep using hairspray. Keep using deodorant. Keep driving your Cadillac. Keep driving your SUV. In other words, keep on burning that gas. You're not going to pollute the air. You're not going to burn a hole in the ozone. Oh, this crowd doesn't know God. In the Old Testament, they sent up sacrifices every day. Smoke went up in the atmosphere of heavens. And God never one time said, hold it. Too much smoke going up. Hold it. Never. See, God so fixed it that He'll take care of it. And we're not going to destroy the earth. The Lord created it. The Lord contains it. The Lord controls it. And one day, thank God, He will come back to this old earth and create a new heaven and new earth.
Amen.
Amen. God sent a great storm and didn't come because of global warming. It came because Jonah was out of the will of God. And God's going to use a storm to get his attention. And then the Bible said not only did God send a storm, but the Bible said God prepared. I like this.
Yeah.
And the Bible said God had prepared a great fish.
Yeah.
Had. Already had ready.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful? In other words, God knew what Jonah was going to do. God knew what Jonah was going to say. God knew which way Jonah was going to go. And God said, that's all right, big boy. You go the way you want to. I will if you won't. And God sent a storm, and God had prepared, already had it ready, waiting on Jonah when they threw him overboard.
Amen.
And that's the God we know, the God we serve. I do not believe in accidents. Somebody said, I don't have no accidents. I'm saved. I don't have any accidents. You say, well, you haven't. No, it wasn't an accident. Not with God. I'm glad that I believe and I've learned this and I like it and I rejoice in it and I say glory to God. The God I serve knows everything. I never catch Him off guard, never surprise Him. In other words, He knows what I think before I think it. He knows the way I go before I go. I want to say praise God for the Almighty. Thank God for my friend, the all-wise God, for the all-powerful God. Jonah wasn't dealing with my friend men. He was dealing with God. God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach the word I bid thee. Jonah said, I'm not going to Nineveh. I've heard preachers say this. Jonah was running from a call to preach. No, he wasn't. He's already a prophet. Read your Bible. He's already a prophet. He wasn't running from a call to preach. He was running from a place to preach. He wasn't running from a call. But I've heard preachers say, I was like Jonah, and I run from the call. I didn't run from the call.
I didn't either.
A man desires the office of a bishop, he desires good work. God put in my heart when He called me, and I didn't rebel, and I didn't fight it, and I didn't run from it. Praise God, He put a desire in my heart, and I wanted to do it.
Amen.
All right, that might rub somebody the wrong way. It sounds good to say God wanted me so bad I ran for 10 years and I finally surrendered. Hogwash. Hogwash. God didn't need me. God didn't need you. But God favored me and God showed me and God called me. And God didn't say, go ahead and run for 20 years. I need you so bad. No, God didn't need me that bad. You're welcome. See, I've heard preachers testify like, I ran for the Lord for 10 years. I had one fellow say, I ran for the Lord for 10 years and I got out there and I was drinking, carousing around, and I was sitting on the bar stool and I finally decided it's time to surrender. Hogwash.
Amen.
Let me just run this by you while I'm here. These fellows run across this country talking about they got saved in this 12. God called them to preach in his 15.
Yeah.
They went out in the world and drank liquor and run around with women until they got 30.
Yeah.
And they decided to preach.
Yeah.
Hogwash.
Yeah.
And getting to pull up and brag about it.
Yeah.
Oh, I got saved when I was 12, and the Lord called me to preach when I was 15, and I backslid and stayed backslid till I was 30, and in other words, I finally decided to preach hogwash. I wouldn't walk across the street to hear him.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. God sent a great storm. God prepared a great fish. You know what God said to Jonah? That's okay, Jonah. I will if you won't.
Yeah.
If you won't go to Nineveh, I'll put you where you won't go anywhere.
Amen.
And he does.
Yeah.
He could put you in a hospital room.
Yeah.
He could put you in a nursing home.
Yeah.
He could put you by your back with your back broke.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that kind of God. That's okay.
Yeah.
He said, Jonah, if you won't go, I'm going to fix it where you won't go anywhere.
Amen.
And he did. Put him in that whale's belly 3 days and three nights. And when he got through with old Jonah, Jonah said, I cried to the Lord. He said, you know what? I've made my mind up. It's better to go than stay. And God puked him out, hauled him out up on that shore, and old Jonah hit the road of running. We had an old professor at college. He said, old Jonah hit the ground. Old Jonah hit the ground and running. And said, somebody said, what do you want for supper? What are you having for supper, fish? Jonah said, thank you, I'm sick of fish. He'd been there 3 days and three nights. But you know what he did? Now, it's not in that book of Jonah. I just read the Bible and believe what I read. Now, sometimes I may not understand it, but I read it.
Yeah.
You take old Jonah, went down to Nineveh, and the Bible said in that city it took three days to get across it.
Yeah.
And old Jonah entered in one on the first day.
Yeah.
And old Jonah went across there preaching, and that crowd repented, and that crowd experienced, in other words, a moving of God. And then old Jonah, after all he'd experienced, got angry and mad because God did something he didn't want. Amen. My text said, listen, be thou instructed, O people of God. Be thou instructed. He said, I know, wonderful things happen in the land. The prophets are prophesying falsely. The priests are bearing rule for their own means. And my people love to have it so. But he said, listen, you better stand in the ways. Ask the old pastor and walk therein. They said, we're not going to do it. He says, okay. If you won't, I will. Now, folks, tonight, God is loving. And God is gracious. And God is long-suffering. And God is kind. He proves that dealing with Israel. But God said, you know what? I am full of fury. It's time to stop talking. And time to do something. Now, God had done a lot of talking. Now, by the way, what I mean is God sent, he said he sent prophets early. I mean, sent them in plenty of time.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't listen. Think about what we've heard these days.
Amen.
Think about it.
Amen, brother.
Think about it. God has sent us messages early.
Amen.
Giving us plenty of time.
Yes,
get everything straight. You know why? Because on down the road, God doesn't want us to have to be chastened, corrected. We're living in days when there's too much glory preaching.
I believe it.
Glory, glory, glory. There are a lot of preachers, I'm not going to call their names, they wouldn't like this meeting. Because these preachers have glorified God and have unglorified themselves. But there are a lot of preachers, and I know whereof I speak. All they want to do is have glory, glory, glory. The first thing they want to do when they get in the meeting is stir the people up emotionally, get them to have emotional feelings, get them stirred up. And if they can get them to shouting and running and hollering. I'll tell you this. Now, I'll be through in a minute. If Brother Jamie comes to my meeting or you come to my meeting, I got you scheduled. had it planned for a year. I said, the Lord led me to invite you, Brother Jamie, to come and preach in this meeting. And you get there on Monday night or any night. And then it's time for you to preach. And some other fellow will take over. He'll run, shout, and holler, and his wife will be right behind him. You can talk to me. And they'll run, holler, and shout. In other words, and so the pastor will up and say, well, I think God's done about all he can do tonight. I've been in those meetings. I was in a meeting one time. I'm going to tell you this. Some of you know where I was at. I told you, but I'm not going to tell you. They had me scheduled, another preacher. Well, all the preachers you know, there's three, four of us. And had me scheduled to preach that night, and this other brother to preach that night. And this fella came in, and another fella came in, his wife came in. And they got to hooping and hollering and shouting, and they run and jumped and kicked and hollered. And even some would come by and say to the pastor, can I run? He'd say, yeah, go ahead and run. Now, I know some of you are going to frown on this. So after they all run and shouted and hollered, it's time to, in other words, we started to preach. He said to this brother, the other brother, he said, you got anything? He said, no. Well, the preacher had already, the pastor already said. In other words, God's done about all he's going to do. Yeah. So he asked me, he said, you want to preach? I mean, you got, I said, no. No. I'm not going to play second fiddle to him.
Amen.
Years ago, I was down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I called a church, Brother Rude, know it. Oh, they pumped her up. Billy Goosby's in that meeting and others. No, Brother Billy said they preached 20. They sung 20 specials. I don't know if they did or not. But he just kept pumping it, pumping it, pumping it. You may have been that mean, brother. I don't know. They're pumping it, man. And they run, they hooped, and they shouted. And I mean, that's having a time. And a little pastor came up and said, Brother Ronnie, you think you could preach about 10 minutes? I said, no, I will not preach 10 minutes.
Amen,
send them home. We'll come back tomorrow if you want me. But I'm not going to play second fiddle to your sermon.
Amen. Bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, Holy Ghost doesn't confuse people.
No.
Holy Ghost does things in order.
Right.
And if I have a man schedule a year ahead of time and God led me to him and God laid him on my heart and he felt like he ought to come, I'm not going to let somebody run in, take his time, and therefore take over the service.
Amen.
I just thought I might run that by. I remember years ago, I don't have much tact now, but I used to didn't have any. But I passed this church 25 years of, well, I hadn't been there long, this little woman. You know how it is. Oh, she never did come to church much. She might drop in every 6 months, you know, Mother's Day or something like that. And all they just thought she was real fearful. Every time she'd come, she'd want to shout. I mean, that's what she came for, to shout. And I just got my belly full of it. So one Sunday morning, it might have been on Mother's Day. But one Sunday morning, oh, she trotted in. Boy, she was happy. Hadn't been to church 6 months. And she was going to just, you know what I mean? They don't want to hear preaching. They don't want to hear no preaching. No, they don't want to hear the preaching. So she jumped up and trotted around, going to do her little thing. I said, sit down.
Amen.
I've been to study all week. God's given me a message, and you're not taking it away.
Amen.
Sit down.
Good.
I lost some people, but still I was right.
Amen.
A lot of folks think more mama than daddy, and blood runs thicker than water, but I'm going to tell you, God's right. We ought to stand our ground, let people know who we are, and God's not playing games. God will if we won't.
Amen.
All right. Now, the reason I'm preaching where I am, these preachers are the cause of it. Got me stirred up.
Amen.
So I'm going to... Don't blame me, blame them.
Okay.
God will if we won't. Now here's my last verse. Hear me. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. Yeah. Is that a good verse?
Yeah.
If my people,
yeah,
which are called by my name,
right,
shall humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins. That's what he said. You know what God is saying? If you will, I will. If you won't, I will. I'm coming out on top. I am going to be the one that's the last word. So if you will, I will. But if you won't, I will. So I think it's wise when God says, do something, instead of saying, I will not walk therein, we ought to say, oh, Lord, help me.
Yeah.
You know, like the testimony of Paul, Saul.
Yeah.
Old Saul got saved and rode to Damascus. He asked, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Hard thing to kick into pricks. And old Saul's next words were, what you want me to do? Nowadays, folks make a profession on Sunday morning. You got to bribe them. You got to beg them.
Yeah.
In other words, you got to knock on the door every Saturday to get them to come to church. Old Saul got converted and said, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And the Lord said, you just go to the street, call straight in Damascus, and I'll tell you what to do.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. He got down there, and God sent Ananias. And you know what? Saul was saved on the road to Damascus before he got baptized.
Yeah.
That's right. Called Ananias brother. Ananias called him brother.
Yeah.
Oh, Ananias said, Lord, I'll tell you what now, I've heard of that fellow. He's pretty mean.
Yeah.
I don't know, Lord. Folks, tonight, we're living in a day when folks have a different concept of God.
Yeah.
Easygoing God.
Yeah.
Push him around. Say no to him at any time you want to, and he won't do anything about it. That's not the God. That's not the God of the Bible.
Amen.
That is not the God of the Bible.
Amen.
God said, Abraham, I want you to leave your land, leave your kindred, and go into the land I'll show thee. And Abraham took off with his dad. Got bogged down in Haran. But God moved him.
Yes,
and I believe that's what the Bible teaches. Oh, when Naomi and them got down there and Moab tarried, was it 10 years? But God brought them out. And God is so good. Even after Abraham failed and Naomi failed and Jonah failed, God still is a blessing God.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
He blesses us.
Yeah.
I think of that verse, I think of it the other night in Psalms. God said this concerning Israel. But I remember that you're just flesh.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
And God does remember that.
Yes, he does.
Think women tonight about what we've heard these days.
Amen.
Has God spoken to you? Has God brought you to the crossroads? Has God got you standing there tonight? Crossroads. You know what God wants you to do? You know what God tells you to do? Whether it be salvation or just surrendering to the Lord. In other words, as a saint of God, you know where you are.
Yep.
Yeah. And these men of God have preached to us.
Yeah.
Now, what are we going to do? Are we going to say, no, we're not going to say it audibly, but are we going to say it by our action of rebellion? I am not going to walk therein. I'm not going to do it. Did you better hear what God says? If you won't, I will.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
God's not mean.
Nope.
You know that? I've preached it through the years. God's not mean.
Amen.
God's not up in heaven with a club wanting to hit you over the head every time you stumble.
Nope.
Make a mess. God, that's not our Heavenly Father.
Nope.
No. And you know, when you hear the word like we've heard today and through our life, you know, when the Heavenly Father gets a preacher to preach the word to us and tells us, just like Brother Rue preached last night, God wasn't trying to hurt us.
No.
That's it, like a parent would say to his son, or a father say to his son, the son, in that world out there, they're going to tempt you and entice you, and they're going to say to you now, this one beer won't hurt you. Go ahead and try it. But the father says, son, don't never try that one beer. Now, the father's not trying to deprive that son of, hurt him, but he's trying to help him. Is that not true? That's where Heavenly Father is. God's not trying to hurt us. God's trying to help us. That's like a mother would say to her daughter, now, daughter, you go out there in the world, they'll try to take you and abuse you and misuse you. And then when they're through with you, they throw you on a hash heap. In other words, you know what she's trying to do? She's not trying to hurt that girl. She's trying to help her.
Amen.
That's where our Heavenly Father is.
Amen.
When he rebukes me, reproves me, challenges me, you know what he's doing? He's trying to help me.
Amen.
Let's stand tonight. Brother Jeremy's coming. These have been good days. And I really believe, I know the Lord has spoken to us. I say us.
Yes.
So when the Lord speaks to me as a saint of God, may the Lord help me to say, I'm not going to rebel.
Amen, brother.
Help me, Lord, not to rebel. Because I know if I do, that he loves me so much. Now listen to what the Bible said. All he loves, he chastens.
Amen. Yeah.
You know why parents correct their children? They love them.
Amen.
You know why God corrects us? He loves us.
Amen,
that's what he said, wasn't it?
Amen.
All I love, I chasten.
Yeah.
And he does.
Amen.
Brother Jeremy, come on, I'm through.